As it said in the video, we are all about finding peace during this season of Advent. And I would want to tell you that, in case you didn't know, it's December 22nd, 3 days until Christmas. So, have you made any plans for Christmas? Yeah? I know some of you have been planning these holidays since January, and some perhaps waited until yesterday to go shopping. Some of us like to have our holidays planned down to the detail of where the olives and the pickles go and that, that segmented dish that's shaped like a Christmas tree, right? And then some will be on your way home from worship, will be picking up the frozen turkey, hoping it will thaw by Wednesday. I'm not judging. To each their own. My wife Ruth is the consummate planner for our dinners at holiday time, and I just do what she tells me to do. That was especially important as Ruth was spent a good part of the holidays this past Christmas, 2023, in Colorado, as we hosted two parties, well-planned by Ruth. The food, the time, the other plans that make those gatherings special. Ruth was with her mother last Advent and Christmas season. She was with her mother because that was her last Christmas on this earth. Sometimes our plans don't go, they don't proceed as well planned. Sometimes we're disappointed when our plans fail to be fulfilled. I'm so glad that Ruth was in the right place by her mother's side during the Christmas holiday last year. It was the last holiday she and her mother, and as well as my father, had faced on this earth. And I know that many of us have experienced disappointment at plans not realized and life isn't what you thought it might be. Think of the holidays of these past few years. Think of these holidays since COVID-19 put a damper on many celebrations and gatherings. It's been a challenging time, hasn't it? We've been focusing on finding peace during the season of Advent. Today I'd like to talk to you about disappointment and where God is in relationship to us feeling disappointment. When you're disappointed, it is difficult to experience peace. So I specifically want to share some thoughts on when we, as followers of Jesus Christ, are disappointed with God. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Let's take a look at what happened that first Christmas when there were shepherds in the field watching their flocks by night, and an angel came among them and said, first, do not be afraid. I bring you good tidings, good news. To give you the context of Luke chapter 2, it had been 400 years since the Jews had heard from God and they were under the oppressive rule of the Roman Empire. The angel of the Lord appeared to them and says, I bring you good news. So who's ready for some good news today? The shepherds were certainly ready for good news. The angel continued, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. For to born to you today in the city of David, a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord, this will be a sign for you that you will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. What I love about this passage is this proclamation of God sent just what the world needed. Just what the world needs today. I mean, if we needed advice, God would send us a counselor. If we needed different laws, God would send us a politician. If we needed education, God would send a teacher. But what we needed, friends, was hope. What we needed was healing. What we needed was forgiveness and wholeness. So God sent a Savior. Today, a Savior is born to you in the city of David. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. You will see this sign. You will recognize him by this sign. Wrapped in bands of cloth, lying in a manger. What's a sign? A sign is an object that points to a meaning. It sends a message. The sign that God sent to us was not what we would expect. God didn't send a king in the palace dressed in purple linens and, you know, with flowing robes with a halo above his head. God sent a baby in a hollowed out cave with perhaps a wooden front to keep the weather out, wrapped in rags. Back to the shepherds. The angel was then joined by a vast host of others, an army of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom He favors." And on earth peace. Peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Peace. Peace on earth. It's an interesting thing about the birth of Jesus is that what we read is really anything but peaceful. What we read in the birth narrative in Matthew and Luke are plans that have gone wrong and joyful expectations dashed upon the rocks of reality. Let's consider this couple with whom God called to be the earthly parents of the Son of God. Let's think about what really happened with Joseph and Mary. There's not enough beautifully crafted nativity sets or majestic Christmas cards that can offset the fact that the story of Mary and Joseph is a story about a young couple that navigates what feels like betrayal and deceit and relational devastation. I don't want you to hear this story like you've heard it 100 times today. I want you to try to imagine that these are very real people who had dreams and hopes and aspirations just like the rest of us. We first have to know that the young couple, Mary and Joseph, were unfairly criticized, perhaps hated, certainly shamed and humiliated. They have this traumatic birth that they have to schlep all the way down from Nazareth all the way down to Bethlehem. It must have been a nightmare being in that city. And then after the birth of the child, they were running as fugitives to get away from a jealous ruler, Herod. And all of this trouble and all of this disappointment because they were trying to do exactly what God wanted them to do. Their lives were most likely a challenge already. They were people of low means in a small town in Nazareth. Joseph was a carpenter and Mary could have well been a servant girl. It's been thought that perhaps she was a servant in the nearby city of Sepphoris, but that's just a conjecture. They were engaged to be married, betrothed, which is actually a legally binding relationship in ancient Palestine. It marks the beginning of engagement of two people of two families. It's also a formal contract agreement between the families that could be terminated only through divorce. The couple did not live together during the period of time. Actually, marriage was really an agreement between families as opposed to just two individuals. And we really can't know the specifics of Joseph and Mary's relationship, whether they were deeply in love with each other or were just going through the motions of meeting the contractual agreements between their two families. But here's the thing. They had a plan. Mary may have deeply loved Joseph, and Joseph may have been very proud to be engaged to this young woman who, together, they would create a family. It's not an uncommon story in that time, in that place on earth. Then we read in verse 18 in chapter 1 of Mary's Gospel, "Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother had been engaged to Joseph, before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit." Now there's a twist, right? There's a fly in the ointment. That's a surprising turn of events. Where once there was a plan, now it's a catastrophe. God interrupted their plans with the most complicated, untimely, inconvenient, seemingly unfair, and possibly deadly assignment. Imagine how that conversation went when Mary told Joseph that she was pregnant with God's child by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, imagine how Joseph felt when he received that word from Mary that she, not only is she pregnant, but she's pregnant by the power of the Spirit. Probably his reaction was not only is she a liar and possibly a cheat, but she's a little cray-cray. I mean, wow, what is this? I mean, Joseph wasn't wrong. This is wild. Joseph is crushed. He's humiliated. He's disappointed. This is a life-wracking, life-altering disappointment. And think of Mary, a young teenage girl who has done nothing but follow her God. And perhaps quite literally, her life could be over. By the strictest interpretations of the law, she could be taken out onto the edge of town and be stoned to death. Mary and Joseph were disappointed and disillusioned from two different perspectives, and they might have joined their voices together in crying out, "Where are you, God? Where are you, God?" And I want to share with you two truths that seem to emerge from this birth narrative from Matthew and Luke. And I really pray that the Holy Spirit will place these truths upon your heart during this season of Advent, that we can truly receive the good news and experience of peace and joy during this Christmas season. The first truth is this: you don't have to understand the plan to trust that God has a purpose. You don't have to understand the plan to know that God has a purpose. Proverbs 19:21 is a great reminder, saying, "The human mind may devise many plans, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will be established." I have plans. You have plans. Joseph had plans. Mary had plans. The human mind may devise many plans, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will be established. Joseph, after hearing that Mary was pregnant, had plans to quietly divorce her. But God had a purpose. Mary had a plan in which she was to be engaged to Joseph. Her plan was to marry him and build a life together. But God had a purpose. And we're told in Matthew's Gospel, first chapter, verse 20, that just as Joseph had resolved to divorce Mary, an angel of the Lord came to him and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin." Joseph had made a plan to dismiss Mary, to divorce her. But God had a purpose. In the middle of Joseph and Mary's disappointment, God interjected God's purpose in saving the world through the child that was to be born to them. So that first truth is we don't have to understand the plan to trust that God has a purpose. The second truth is that I want to share with you is your disappointment with God might actually be a divine appointment from God. There are times in your life, I promise, when you might find yourself disappointed and let down and wondering where God is. God is working out His greatest purposes even in the middle of our greatest disappointments. I've shared with you many times that, I've told you I went to MSU. Anybody who knows me knows that, right? I'm a proud grad. But even as I stepped onto that campus, it wasn't right. I was a pre-med student, and it wasn't right. I went to the first meeting of the pre-med club. It wasn't right. And by Thanksgiving, I was calling my pastor, who had told me for years I should be in ministry. And by Christmas, I was before the board of ministry at a district level. It wasn't my plan. It wasn't my plan to be a pastor for 40 years. But God had a purpose. And I've been blessed beyond measure. I hope you've been blessed in times of disappointment as well as you looked for what God wanted to do with you in that time, in that space, whatever that disappointment has been. And that disappointment might not end even when we receive God's purpose for our lives. Think of Joseph and Mary. He decides to accept Mary into his life and marry her. And then they had to make the trek to Bethlehem, where they had to be counted. Then they had to flee to Egypt. Jesus probably wasn't the easiest kid to raise. Can you imagine? I mean, they lost him. They lost him in the synagogue, And I'm just saying that God always finds a way for God's purposes to happen, even in the midst of our disappointments. So we don't have to understand God's plan to understand that God has a purpose, and our disappointments just might be God's divine appointment for us. Which brings us to what I want you really to know about our relationship with God this Advent season. Let's think about Mary as she witnessed as a result of trusting in God's plan and seeing her disappointment transformed into God's appointment. We're told in Luke's Gospel that after the shepherds were heralded by the angels, they went to Bethlehem. They told Mary and Joseph. They told anybody who would follow them about what had happened. And Mary treasured the words of those shepherds and pondered them in her heart. She trusted God's plan and purpose for her life, for her child's life, and then she watched her son grow into this incredible rabbi, preaching to thousands, healing, performing miracles. She watched him be arrested, beaten, and hung on a cross, and it was a horrible understatement to say that she must have been disappointed. But God raised Jesus from the dead, opened the tomb, and he walked among his disciples and hundreds of others over the next weeks, 7 weeks. God transformed any disappointment that Mary and Jesus' followers had into a beautifully divine appointment. God had a plan, and we might not always understand it, but we can understand that our God is always truly loving and caring for each and every one of us. If we understand God's character and the ways, then we can hope in and experience the transformation of our disappointment into divine appointment. The angel began God's message to the shepherds by saying, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people." Good news of great joy for all the people. And what I want you to take away from this message this morning on this fourth Sunday of Advent is that we are God's purpose. We are God's purpose. All this happened because of us, because of you and you and you. We're God's purpose. All of this is so that we will know peace, to know God's wholeness and salvation. Shalom. We often say that Jesus is the reason for the season, but the fact is we are the reason for the season in a very significant way. It's all because of the loving nature of our Creator, who is not just loving, but is love. And God's love found its greatest purpose in the redemption of all humanity for all of us. And that's the word of God for the people of God this morning at Central United Methodist Church, in the name of our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. And the folks said, Amen.